Today's scripture will be James 2, 1 through 6. In the Pew Bible, it's 1054 and 1055. My brothers and sisters, believer in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes in meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand here or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen who are the poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. It is not the rich who are exploiting you. Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court?
Have you ever feel like you're getting old? Okay, that's the wrong scripture. I looked in here, I thought, James 2, maybe Charlotte's speaking today. That is my fault, no. But well, I'll read to you in just a minute. James 1, because I thought, I was listening to that scripture, I thought, gee, I wonder what he's preaching on today, you know. This could be a long, long, long service. I've been trying to come up with that and all, but sorry about that. We'll get to that in a little bit and all. It is a joy to be here with my wife, Charlotte, and I. Where are your hands, Charlotte? It's that beautiful girl back there. And we are thankful and honored to be here at First Baptist here in Piedmont, the great metropolis of Piedmont. And this is a cool place. There's a lot of neat stuff around here. And yet, having been in the area and, you know, meeting some of the folks, I would look at this one song where it says there's no difference between East and West, but I tell you, there's a difference between North and South. I don't know who wrote this, but they weren't from Piedmont, is what I want to tell you right now. They didn't live here. But anyway, if you didn't get a chance to make breakfast, you should have done that, because at breakfast we had manna. Biscuits and gravy, and that's in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews somewhere. And so we had a wonderful time of fellowship. You know, one of the great assets a ministry has is each other. You know, that's the great asset. That's the great wealth when it comes to what we have in the Lord, is that we share a common bound. We know the Lord. Someone says that the ground's kind of level at the cross. And so it doesn't really make any difference when we come and we meet with the people of God. We can have fellowship with one with another, and we can bear one another's burdens. I'm going to tell you right now, in a group this size this morning, I'm telling you, there's folks here that have burdens that they're dealing with. And we have an opportunity, yeah, a privilege to be able to help in that. So I encourage you along those lines. Have you ever read a scripture, and when you read it, it troubled you? You know, it's not that you don't believe it's true. In fact, you know it is true. Well, in John 16, if you want to turn there, there's a scripture here, and I look at that, and I realize that the truth of it and the impact of it. I realize through the years I've been trying to avoid some of this, and maybe you have too. But let me just share it with you. In John 16:33, the Bible says, "These things have I spoken unto you." This is the Lord talking here, that in me you might have peace. Now, if we could stop right there, that would be good. But the Bible says, in the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In that little phrase right here, it says that we are going to have problems. I believe this morning that I'm going to deal with things that probably we can all relate to. Anyone here ever have any problems this morning? And I mean, it's just part of our life. And the Bible says it's going to happen. In fact, the Bible says that there's no such thing as a problem-free life. Problems are inevitable. If you're here this morning, you have problems. Let me tell you this. First Baptist Church has problems. You know why? Because you're here. You know what I'm saying? And we know that's the situation. And I know that we try to avoid them. Much of my life, I spend time trying to avoid problems. In fact, sometimes I try to do things like, you know, try to not act like they're not true. And yet, and sometimes when the problems come into my life, I'm thinking, well, does God not love me? Or have I done something wrong? And yet what's really happening is the scripture is being fulfilled. The Bible's real clear that we will have problems. Life happens to all of us. Now, we know that's true. So what should be our spirit? What do we need to believe? Well, the title of the message is right. You know, I believe that God's purpose in my life is bigger than my problems. God's purpose is bigger than my problems. Do you believe that? Amen or oh me? Okay. It's going to be a lot. Listen, look how many pages of notes I have. It's going to go on for 3 hours. I mean, just loosen up some here. You know, I'll tell you folks, if I don't have a good time in church, this is where I go. You know, if anyone should be able to have joy and laughter, it's people that come to church. I know how the thing's going to end. I know who wins. And so therefore, we ought to enjoy the things of God. Now, okay. But are we the only people that believe that God's purpose is bigger than our problems? Well, no, we don't. There are some great examples in the Word of God, and yes, I'll get to James in a minute. There's great examples in the Word of God of people that believed that God's purpose was bigger than their problems. If you would go to the Old Testament, if you were taking your Bibles and went to the Old Testament, and you were going to go to a book of the Old Testament that we know that guy dealt with problems, what book would you go to? Job. All right, let's do it. Let's go to Job chapter 1, and we'll read about what is going on in Job's life. If you've studied the book of Job any, you realize here's an individual that went through an awful lot of traumatic things in his life. I mean, you think about that. I mean, here is a fella, sometimes we think when problems come in our life, it's because we did something wrong. You know, we look at someone and say, oh, what did they do wrong? Well, not necessarily. It's certainly not true here. In fact, the Bible says that Job was a very uprighteous individual. I mean, when God says that, you can count that's the case. And yet we see, as you look at chapter 1 of the book of Job, we find that several traumatic problems happened in his life. One thing, he lost all his wealth, just like that, it seemed like. And then if that wasn't bad enough, all of a sudden, his 10 children were killed. It's something awful about a child dying before a parent. But all 10 of your children dying. And, you know, it was one of those things. It seemed like he was sitting here and this person came and gave him this good, bad news. This person came and gave him some more bad news. And on it was going. And you think, well, how much more can you take? You may have walked in here this morning and wondering, how much more can I take what's going on in my life? Well, here's an individual that was having so many traumatic experiences. Look what he said in verse 20 of chapter 1. Then Job arose and he rent his mantle and he shaved his head. That's what I did this morning. Shaved my head. Not the same thing. He shaved his head and he fell down upon the ground and complained. Well, wait a minute now. Come on now. Look what happened, guys. Look what took place. Here was an individual that he was a very wealthy individual and he lost all his wealth. And then this seemed like almost exactly the same thing happened. And someone come and told him, all your children are dead. It would be easy to say, well, God, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? But the Bible says that he certainly understood the problems, but he said, I am going to worship God. Worship the Lord. And all these things, Job did not sin or charge God foolishly. You know what Job did? He believed that God's purpose was bigger than his problems. It didn't really matter what the problems were. It didn't matter how big they might be or to how far stretching they may come to. He believed this so much so. This is how he responded. You know, what you believe is how you behave. The things you really believe. You know, I talk to folks about the things of God, and I see how they're living and what they're doing, and I'm saying, those things don't match up. I mean, if you say you believe something, then that's how you ought to behave. And we see that in Job's life. He actually believed that. If you move in the New Testament in Corinthians, we read about another guy. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Paul, who God used mightily. Paul was a rock star. We talked about this. Susan this morning taught a great lesson dealing with Barnabas. But we find, of course, Barnabas had a tremendous impact on Paul's life. And Paul was greatly used of God. God, I mean, just an amazing span of service. When you think about who Paul was, and he was a Roman citizen. He was a Pharisee. You talk about zealous. You talk about exciting. If you got around Paul, it was an exciting place to be. His personality. You know what I love about the Word of God? When God uses these guys to write these books in the Bible, He does not destroy the personality, and neither does He destroy you. Years ago in my ministry, as you can tell, I'm a little bit gregarious in my behavior. I spent 10 years working with young people. That's where my hair went. There's no parting there. And so because of that, I've always been kind of a, you know, I'm excited about the things of the Lord, and these things are great and all. And so, years and years ago, I thought, well, you know, I need to tone it down and be somebody else. And I was preaching at the time. In fact, I just had finished a youth thing. I was going into ministry, pastoring, all that kind of thing. And you know, I'm going to be a pastor now, so I'm going to be more dignified and all that. And so I tried for about a day. Tried to be somebody else. And I figured out, you know what God told me? Not audibly. You know what God impressed me with? Bill, be Bill. If I want you to be somebody else, I'd make you them. I want you to be you. Can I say this to you this morning, church? You need to be you. We don't need another one of you. Just be you. God made you very unique and very special. And Paul was that way. Now, if you look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we find that Paul actually knew what the purpose was. Paul had a pride problem. God hates pride, doesn't he? It doesn't matter who you are either. Paul had a pride problem, and he realized it. And he tells us in verse 7, he talks about it. And he talks about Satan, a messenger of Satan coming and giving him a hard time. And whatever this thorn in the flesh was. And I've heard all kinds of discussion of what the thorn in the flesh was. It doesn't really matter what it was. It was a thorn in the flesh. It was a problem. And it was in Paul's life. And even though he realized that God brought it there because of the pride situation, Paul prayed 3 times for it to be removed. He asked God, God, would you remove this? And it's interesting, as God was talking to him, he said, in verse 9, you see that God said, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. And when Paul heard that, he said, most gladly, therefore I will glory in my infirmities. Paul said, if this is what the Lord has for me, then I know that his purpose is bigger than my problems, and I will glory in that. Let me encourage you this morning. Have you ever come to service and you walked out and forgot what the guy said? Not while I'm speaking, I'm sure, but you've had fellows come in like that. I'm sure you've had. You know, it's just like, have you ever had this happen? You go up to someone, what is your name?
George.
And say, what's your last name?
O'Brien.
George? Let me hear me. George O'Brien. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had this happen? You turn around and you don't know George's name. Yeah. Anyone have that happen to you? It's tough, isn't it? You know? So I've learned a long time ago, when you come to, in fact, a year early in the ministry, I read this article by the guys out in Colorado Springs, Air Force Academy, and they told us that within 3 days, 75% of what you hear, you forget. As a preacher, that kind of didn't make me real happy. And so therefore, the message this morning is this. God's purpose is bigger than my problems. That really is the message. Now, the question is, do you believe it? You know, Proverbs 23:7 says this. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Nobody say that? Didn't I say that? And what that means is that what I believe or what I've been taught is how I'm going to act. What I believe is how I'm going to behave. And I think it's very important to understand. Let me tell you something. You're not going to avoid problems. There's no way you're going to do that. And I think because that's the case, we like to act like everything's okay. But even when these fellows that were going through these problems, it wasn't okay. But they knew that God was in control. And I think this morning you've got to get a hold of the fact that God is in control. And when you squeeze an orange, you expect what? If you squeeze a grape, you expect? If you squeeze a Christian, you expect? Christianity. But do we always get it? Yeah. Okay. Interaction. Cool. Okay. No, we don't always get it. And the reason I think that's true is because I think beliefs are not automatic. Just because you come to First Baptist doesn't mean you believe anything. But beliefs are something that are taught. Didn't the Bible say to train up a child? We're all children of God, aren't we? You know, you can apply that to that. We need to be trained. My beliefs need to be trained. And when I have the proper beliefs, I'll have the proper behavior. So many times, we're working on the wrong end of this thing. We're trying to straighten people's behavior out. That's not the problem. This is the problem. They believe in act. You know what our problem with our society today is? They believe the wrong things. They're functioning with false information, and that's why we have the behavior in our society today. It shouldn't be a surprise to us. What you sow, you're going to what? You're going to reap it. It's a very biblical thing. And so this morning, for a few minutes, I want to share some things with you out of James chapter 1 that I believe, I hope will be helpful to you. And my desire is when you leave here this morning, you walk out of here with a foundation, something to work on. You know, I always have believed in divine appointments. I believe you're here as an appointment from God. God wants to speak to you. And let me tell you whose attention he gets. Those that are paying attention. You know, it's very difficult to pay attention when someone's speaking if you're like that. This is the worst form of communication. And so therefore, I know you've got to work with me on this. One of the things, I'm going to give you just a 3-point outline. All starts with the word R if you want to write them down. This will kind of give you the material you need, because problems don't automatically make us what we need to be. We have to develop them. We see here in James chapter 1 verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but that patience hath her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let's ask of God, who giveth all men liberally, abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea that driven with the wind and tossed." In these 5 verses, we see 3 things that will help you develop the belief that God's purpose is bigger than your problems. Now, again, it's not going to automatically happen that way. You've got to work on it. 3 things. Let me give them to you this morning. Number 1, when problems come in your life, are you ready? You need to rejoice. Don't you hate that? You need to rejoice. I mean, the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into trials and troubles and difficulties. Now, don't misunderstand it. He's not saying for us to fake it. Don't you hate getting around people who are faking it? How you doing? Oh, I'm just doing wonderful. It's like church. You know, there's a lot of lying going on in church. Come on, back up. What do you mean? Let me give you an example. Here's my wife, Charlotte, beautiful girl. No, where's heaven? No, I'm not going to do it earlier. Okay, Charlotte, how you doing, honey?
Great.
What a liar. But don't we do that? We ask questions that we don't want answers for. You know what you call that in church? It's called a greeting. How you doing? I'm fine. You're not fine. But we do that. We fake it. And what I'm saying, what God is saying here, you don't have to fake it. You don't have to put on a phony smile. You don't have to pretend everything's okay. God never asks you to deny reality. You need to write this down. He's not saying to rejoice for those things. He's saying to rejoice in those things. It's not the same thing. We rejoice not for what's happening. We rejoice because of in those things, because we know that God's purpose is bigger than my problems. Now, how can we be happy in the problems? Because we know that God has a purpose. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it exciting to realize that God has something for you to do? That you're not simply taking up space. You say, well, how do you know, preacher, that God wants to use me? You're still alive. When you're dead, not too much activity going on right then. And so therefore, as long as you're alive, God has a race for you to run. God has things for you to do. God is developing your character and maturing you and helping you to grow in the Lord. God's doing all these things to help you to be what you need to be. Let me tell you something. If you're only happy when you don't have any problems, a lot of your time you're not going to be happy. Because the Bible says that we are going to have difficulties. We are going to have problems. And they're coming into our life not to abuse us or to make us happy, but God is developing us. You know, here's what's exciting to me. God's got something for me to do. God's got a race for me to run. He's preparing me. He's getting me ready for what He wants me to do. And I think we need to be aware of that. And as you look at this thing, it says that you need to count. In other words, you need to make a choice. Am I going to rejoice Now, here, you might want to put this down as well. Problems are inevitable. Okay? Misery is optional. You don't have to be miserable. Problems are inevitable, but misery is optional. Psalm 34:1 said, I will bless the Lord. Are you ready? At all times. When I want to, when things are going my way, when I'm not having any more problems. No, the Bible says I will bless the Lord at all times. It's a choice. I mean, it's a choice that I've got to make. When things are happening to me, I have to make a choice. Rather than asking why, I'm saying, God, what is it you want to teach me through this? And so, how do I develop this attitude, belief, that God's purpose is bigger than my problems? No matter what they are. Do you believe God has a purpose in this world? You got that, don't you? I know you think the world's out of kelter. Kelter. Interesting word. I wish I knew what it meant. Anyway, but I think my dad used to use that one time. Anyway, but you think the world's all messed up. Oh, look at all the bad stuff. You know what? This world's always been bad. I've never found it as a great world. I mean, this is a sin-cursed world. And for some reason, I think what happens today, we just happen to know more today. I mean, we're a media mad society. I mean, someone could just have a small thing happen to them, and we know it all over the world, you see. And so I encourage you, when it comes to problems and difficulties in your life, what James is telling us, the way we're going to develop this belief that God's purpose is greater than my problems, is we're going to, when problems come, we're going to rejoice. That's sure not like the world, is it? Aren't we living in a world that's poor me and all gloom and doom? As a believer, we're not that way. Why? Because God has a purpose and it's bigger than what's going on in my life. James goes on. The second thing we see in verse 5 is a request. First was rejoice. The second was a request. In other words, you need to pray about what's going on in your life. What do you pray for? Well, you pray for wisdom. It's what he says. If you lack wisdom, then ask of God. He'll give it to you. It shall be given to you. God wants you to have this wisdom. Let me tell you, I've never enjoyed doing makeup tests or do-overs. You know what I'm saying? Never really wanted to be involved with something like that. And yet, here's the deal. When God is working in your life, rather than asking why, you need to ask God, what is it? Because if you don't get it the first time, it's coming back. If you don't believe that, read the Old Testament, the nation of Israel. They're wandering in the land. How about they just in the desert? Why do they wander? Because they wouldn't receive God's instructions. And so they continued to wander. And so when you're going through problems, you need to request. You need to talk to God and ask Him about what's going on in your life. And you need to realize that, here's the exciting thing. When problems come into your life, they're coming to strengthen you and to develop you. And you say, well, I don't know why these things are going on in my life. I tell you why they're going on. Because you're still on the team. He's got something He wants you to do. And He's got to get your life in a place where He can use you. He wants you to be usable, and so therefore, whatever has to happen to bring that about, that's what he's going to do. And we need to understand that it doesn't mean that what's happening doesn't hurt. Sure, it hurts. But when we know God is in control, and I want God in control. I don't want to be the one calling the shots. Some of you will be real happy that I'm not God. But I'm thankful for Him, and I'm thankful that these things that are going on in my life, and what's here happening at First Baptist, what God is doing. God doesn't want you here simply to simply occupy. He has left you here to conquer. We are here as victors, not as victims. God's got a job for us to do. Well, let's get the job done. You know what our job is? We're in the people business. We reach people. That's what God left us here for. That's why God sent His Son. Because He's concerned. And what He's concerned about, we likewise ought to be concerned about. So James says we need to rejoice when problems come. Not for them, but in them. Then we need to request. We need to pray. You know, we can either pray or complain. I'm afraid I've done both times. But when I talk to the Lord about it, and wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge that He's given us. And I want to make the right decision the first time. I don't have a lot of time left to make a bunch of mistakes. So I want to do it right. What I'd like for you to do is you make the mistakes and tell me how it went. I learned by example. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to get to a place that I believe that God's purpose is bigger than my problems. The last thing is this. It's in verse 6, you need to relax. Trust God, He knows best. You know why He gave us the Bible? The Bible is heavenly counsel for conduct here below. He gave us the Word of God to be able to show us, you know what I found about God? He's pretty consistent. However He's done it is how He does it now. That's why He gave us the Word of God. You want to know what God thinks about things? He'll tell you. He'll tell you exactly what He thinks about things. And so we need to relax. And that's what the scripture, verse 6, talks about. You know, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. There's no doubts. No doubt. You know, what is difficult for us to relax is when we don't know of what we believe is true. And don't doubt that God is working in your life and God's not mad at you and God's not left you and He's helped you. And as He has worked in Job's life, and you know, I read the book of Job and I read this character, how God so mightily used. And sometimes I look at that and I say, well, how can that be? You know how it can be? He believed that God's purpose was bigger than his problem. He believed that. Now, let me sum up these passages for you. Number one, you're going to have problems. It's inevitable. No such thing as a problem-free life. And when you're having problems, two things are happening. Number one, the devil's trying to destroy you. Didn't you read the book of Job? Isn't that what was going on here? Wasn't he trying to destroy Job? Sure he was. So when problems are coming into your life, the devil's trying to destroy you. And number two, God is trying to develop you. Some of us are hard-headed, aren't we? I mean, we don't get it the first time. And so what God is doing, God is bringing this in your life. And so problems are coming. We know the devil is trying to mess us up. We know God's trying to develop us up. Number two, problems don't automatically make you a better person. You and I both know people that have had problems and they're bitter and they're hard and they're cynical. It's because of a choice. I can choose to rejoice, request, relax, or I can choose to be resentful and to be rebellious. That's my options. You still in the book of James, verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown. What's God saying here? Blessed means happy. Happy is a man who hangs in there when trials come into your life. And you have walked in this morning, and you have no idea who I am. And that's okay. You walked in, you didn't have any idea what I was going to say. When they called and made it available that I could come this morning, I prayed, God, what would you have me to say? What do you want me to say? What is it that would be from you? And as God laid this on my heart, the thing I want you to understand, evidently folks have walked in today, maybe some have walked in today really to give up. You're just kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired, so you're going to give up. And I realize that maybe there's things, maybe you're going to give up on God or your marriage or your children or life in general. And you've walked in that way today. And the thing that I encourage is this. Listen, God has a purpose for your life. And may I say, and God has a purpose for First Baptist. There's something that God wants you to do. There's a job for you to do. There's a race for you to run. And I challenge you to do three things. One, ask God for the wisdom when the problems come. And not ask, why is this happening to me? What is it, God, that you're wanting to teach me that I need to learn? Number two, I encourage you to ask God for faith to endure it. And then three, I encourage you. The Bible talks about casting all our care upon Him because He cares for us. In the 70s, when I was in youth ministry, there was a song came out, an old Gaither song. that really through the years has kind of been a mainstay for me. Let me just share it with you. I'm not going to sing it. I know you're thankful for that. But let me share it with you. The song goes, I have had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions about tomorrow. There's been times I've felt so all alone. But in those lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was his own. Here it is. Through it all, the problems and difficulties, I have learned to trust in Jesus. I have learned to trust in God. It's a choice. It's your choice. This morning, you have a choice. You may have walked in here. Folks may not even know what you're going through. They might not even realize what you're facing right now. And the message God has for you is he has a purpose for you in your life. And it's bigger than the problems you're facing right now. Can we pray together? Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed as we pray together. God may have spoken to you this morning. The problem you're facing is that maybe it's been going on a long time and you're weary. My recommendation this morning to you, why don't you cast that burden on him? Maybe you're here this morning, you're not really sure about eternity. If you die right now, you're not sure where you'd spend eternity. But you'd like to know before it's everlastingly too late. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to come back, not going to embarrass you, not my goal at all. But I do want to pray for you. And I want to pray intelligently. Say, Pastor Bales, I'm not really sure. If I would die right now, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity. And I'd like you to pray for me. And I want to do that. Would you just lift your hand and say, pray for me. Not going to come back, not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. I'm not really sure if I would die right now where I'd spend eternity. Would you pray for me? I'll get that thing settled before it's too late. Yes, I will. And just lift that hand and say, pray for me. Again, not going to come back to you. God bless you. You can put the hand down. Not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Yes. Okay. God bless you. It's a tough decision. It's an important decision. You may be here this morning and you know the Lord is your personal Savior, but he's not really Lord of your life, and your life has really been wrought with trouble, and you've not responded to it in the proper way. And you said, I need to get some things straightened out between me and the Lord, because they're not straightened out right now. I need to get things right with him. And I want you to pray for me that I won't just keep lingering on this, but I'll take care of that. I'll not just walk out of here the same way I've walked in. Say, I need to get my life straightened out. There's some things in my life that I need to get straightened out. Would you pray for me? Yes, I would. Would you lift your hand? Just going to pray for you. Not going to come back to you. Not going to embarrass you. Just going to pray for you. All right. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, please. Going to pray together. Father, we come to you this morning. We're thankful and grateful for the Word of God. We're thankful that your purpose is bigger than our problems. And Father, there's folks walking here and they're not sure about eternity. I pray they'll not walk out here without that same burden. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. And God, I pray that, Lord, that we'll understand the seriousness of what we're talking about this morning. This world needs believers that believe God. Too long, Lord, we have simply given lip service to the things of God. We've played the game called church. It's time we come out of that and understand we're here as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Help us to understand who we represent. Thank you, Father, now. As our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, we're going to extend the invitation. God has spoken to you. You'd like for someone to pray with you. I'll meet you right down here in front. Take the Word of God and show you how you can know for sure heaven's your home. Whatever your need is, I invite you to come as we extend the invitation.